evening, everyone out there in internet radio land. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church, The Soul's Evolution. It's a cold day here in San Antonio and there in Houston, where VBS Radio is, but it's that time of the year in our planet's revolution around our sun when we are furthest away from the sun. And I was telling Thomas that I personally prefer warm weather. Cold is painful sometimes, whereas if it gets too hot like it does here in San Antonio, it's just uncomfortable. But pain when it's cold, indeed, especially when the wind blows. I was on the track today. I don't let any weather slow me down. As long as the roads are okay, then I'll head out and do my workout. I'd love to get my exercise in every day so my body functions kind of like automatically. You know, I do a little bit of running, mostly walking, and get my heart exercise that way and my lungs also. And I do it every day. But tomorrow, I think I do take a day off every once in a while. And tomorrow, I will take a day off because they're recommending that no one drive on the roads because it could be icy. It will be raining and below freezing, so in the 20s. And anyway, it is what it is. I've made a prayer already. I pray that God will bless us, protect us, our house especially. We've had some pipes burst before in the past. And here in Texas, we've had the power grid go off and people have been without electricity. And hopefully that doesn't happen. We haven't made any contingency plans like going out and buying some kerosene heaters. So we'll put our faith in God and hopefully we'll get through this cold spell. It should be here at least a week. The way I've seen it, I've looked out into the future and it's going to be here until at least another week. Anyway, I wanted to talk with you about something that I've been experimenting with. I guess you could say experimenting with. And I'm planning on giving a speech about this in my Toastmaster clubs. I'm a member of four clubs. I'm what they call a distinguished Toastmaster, which means I've reached the highest level of being a Toastmaster. And it took me 27 years to do it, finally. I began being a Toastmaster, which is a public speaking group, you know, getting in front of people and talking while they listen. And I was a member of two clubs in Cleveland, Ohio for 2 years, from 98 to 2000. Then I took 8 years off before I joined again. I was a member of three clubs in Alexandria, Virginia. And then I took two more years off and I joined a club on Fort Sam Houston where I worked for the Army's Installation Management Command in 2012. I began working there though in 2010. But I became a member again in 2012, and I was a member of that club for 6 years before I joined Lead to Succeed, which is a club for women, although they do accept men, but it's mostly women. And then after a few more years, or in other words, over the last few years, I joined some other clubs, Cheers, a club that meets once a month at breweries, distilleries, wineries, although I don't drink. My wife, she drinks sometimes in moderation. We joined that club because it's kind of fun. It's a more relaxed atmosphere and people kind of let their hair down, so to speak. And then I'm a member of a club that meets the first and third Saturday of each month at 9:30 in the morning. And I'll be going there next Saturday and I'm going to be giving a speech. I'll be what they call a test speaker. It is now... Oh, by the way, the other club I'm a member of is Northwest Toastmasters, which is a club that meets on Mondays at 6:45. They all last either an hour and 15 minutes. And so Saturday coming up, the next Saturday, the 31st of January, we have a speech contest. Every year we have speech contests. And it starts at the club level and it goes to the next level up, which is the area, and then to division and to district, and then here in San Antonio and the surrounding area, including Austin, there's District 55. And throughout the world, there are different districts. So with the speech contest, if you win at the district level, then you go to region, I think it is, and then eventually to international, where you have speakers from all over the world competing against each other to see who will be the world champion of public speaking. Me, personally, at right now, at this point in time, I don't feel like I'm good enough to be the world champion of public speaking, maybe because of the subjects I like to talk about. Being almost 72 years old, I don't talk about the usual kinds of subjects from what I've noticed before in the past. When people give speeches, they talk about everyday things. You're not supposed to talk about religion and politics anyway, but kind of unremarkable, in my opinion, not so interesting stuff that people talk about. Leadership, we have to be in accordance with the different pathways. That's what they call them, pathways in Toastmasters, where we choose subjects such as dynamic leadership, motivational strategies, persuasive influence, presentation mastery, and a few others, where inside of those pathways, there are different levels, 5 levels, and in each level, there are different projects to complete, such as effective body language, introduction to Toastmasters mentoring, vocal variety, giving a speech with purpose. And so we go through the levels and complete our pathways, and that helps people to get on the path, to be on the path, so to speak, get on the road to finishing their Distinguished Toastmaster, the award that I received last April. I was actually close to getting it before, but then they changed to the new program called Pathways. Before, I had achieved the highest level in the communication program called Advanced Communicator Gold. It had bronze, silver, and gold. So I achieved gold. And then in the leadership program, I got all the way to bronze. It was just competent leader, bronze, and competent leader, silver. And I didn't make the silver because I didn't do a couple of projects. I was 2 projects short, which were the youth leadership program, where you have to go to a high school and help run a Toastmasters class, which I did from October of October of 24 through April of 25. And once I got that completed, I had to fill out the application. Another one of the requirements is for a member to complete what is known as a DTM, or Distinguished Toastmaster Project, which could be anything that benefits Toastmasters or society in general. And it requires that the member do this project and organize it so that they have a committee to help them, maybe just a couple of people that they can confer with. And then you have to give some speeches before and after the project, kind of like an after action report. And once that is completed, then you have fulfilled the requirements of the DTM project. Also on the application, then you have, and one has to complete 2 pathways at least, and I've done only 3. I'm working my 4th right now. One also has to be a club officer, which means either a sergeant at arms, which I am right now with the Lead to Succeed Club, or vice president of education, public relations, education, secretary, treasurer, or the president. I was the president one time of the Fort Sam Houston Club called the Future Speakers on the Horizon, same acronym, FSH. And I was vice president of education for 3 years. One of the main things about the Toastmaster clubs, a club, is to try to achieve the goals that are set each year to try to complete 10 goals. There are 10 goals, and included among those goals are getting new members and for all the members to complete the different levels of pathways. Like I mentioned, there's level 1 through level 5. So if 4 members complete level 1, that's 1 point. Or let me think. Yes, 4 members. Same with level 2. Level 3, just 2 members complete level 3. Level 4, just 1 member. And same with level 5, just 1 member. And if you get 4 new members, that's a point. 4 additional members, that's another point. And if you go to the officer training, just twice a year, if you're an officer identified, picked as an officer, then that's a point. If you submit the dues on time, that's, well, it's like half a point. If the officer list is half a point and the dues are half a point. So a total of 10 goals or points, if you will. And if a club completes a minimum of 5 to 7 goals or has 5 or 7 points, then that is distinguished status. If a club achieves anywhere from, I stand corrected, 5 to 6 is distinguished, 7 to 8 is select distinguished, and 9 to 10 is present is distinguished. And if you achieve all 10 out of 10 goals, then that is called presence distinguished elite. And that is what we try to do every year, to achieve the maximum goals and reach that status and receive an award when we have our yearly conference in one place or another. And they're always very interesting and fun to be at. Anyway, not only does one have to fill a club officer position to receive their DTM, but they have to do an district leadership role too, which could be an area director, which means you're in charge of so many clubs. I was an area director. I was in charge of four. No, I was in charge of, let's see, 5 clubs, I think it was. 4 or 5 clubs, I can't remember. And then I was a division director, which is the next step up. I was in charge of 4 areas or 19 clubs. And then we have a district director, and we have a program quality director and different leadership positions in the district. But once you completed one of those, then you can check that box in the DTM application. And as I mentioned, once I completed the youth leadership program, I'd already done the DTM project, which used to be known as the High Performance Leadership Project, where I was the chair. In other words, I organized a Toastmasters Leadership Institute, which was something that was done online, where we had members who gave classes, and so we had to run a class from 9 to 12 on a Saturday morning. We had to run it, you know, with no glitches, like clockwork, with the people ready to perform their roles, and everyone to later on to break out into the different officer role classes. Whether you were sergeant at arms or vice president of education or president, you would go and get a class and have discussion and so on. 9 to 12, 3 hours. So I completed that, and I was able to check that box for my DTM application. Anyway, so Toastmasters is pretty interesting. And as I was saying, I'm going to be giving a speech. I'm going to take a drink. Saturday the 31st. It's not in the speech contest itself. I've already participated in about 15 to 20 speech contests throughout my career, if you will, at the Toastmaster. And I haven't won that many times. I haven't been improving. I think I've improved a lot. However, what I've noticed is that the pressure is always beneficial when you're competing against somebody, although I try not to think about it, because when you're dealing with winners and losers, not really a friendly kind of atmosphere, if you know what I mean. And then take another drink. However, what would really upset me was the judging. I didn't agree with a lot of the judging. There have been some contests where I participated in where I thought that I did better than the person I competed against based on my knowledge and experience. However, the judges chose them instead of me, and I had a problem with that. And so it is. Judging is supposed to be objective, but unfortunately, it's more subjective. No matter how hard we try, it seems it comes down to if people don't like you or don't like what you're talking about, they won't vote for you. They won't support you, in other words. And some judges also come from clubs that have members in the competition. It's not supposed to be that way, but unfortunately, getting judges, signing up judges for a speech contest, which has to be organized like a Toastmasters Leadership Institute. Some of them are online and some are in person. Actually, the clubs can be done online, but once you get to area, division, and district, the speech contests have to be in person. And anyway, it's Saturday. I've chosen not to compete. There are younger people also. I'm 70, almost 72. I'll be 72 in August. And I just don't want to deal. I mean, I've dealt with it before in the past. I know how to handle that pressure. But I don't like the way that, and I've been a judge myself. I just disagree with some people. And it's a bad taste in one's mouth. You know what I mean? To kind of lose. It's something that stays with you like a bad hangover after you drank a lot the night before for days and even weeks afterwards. So I prefer just not to compete. But I will be what they call a test speaker, because we have the International Speech Contest where you can talk about anything, any subject for 5 to 7 minutes. And by the way, there are some people who are better than me, you know, when giving speeches they're more natural. I don't know if they have a stronger heart or whatever. And then there is the evaluation contest where we have a test speaker, which I will be a test speaker. And then the competition will be evaluating my speech. Evaluating a speech is a rather complex ordeal, if you will, or a complex undertaking where you have to tell the person what you liked, what they did well, an area two for improvement, and you have to bundle it all together with an opening, a middle, and a closing, and wrap that up in like 2 to 3 minutes. So I will be the speaker that they'll be evaluating. And this is a speech that, among all the other speeches, I give speeches all the time because I'm trying to help clubs, you know, achieve those goals to become distinguished. So myself and one other member, she's a member of quite a few clubs, but we give a lot of speeches. So I don't shy away from speeches. That's really where the action is when you get up there and you talk in front of people and they're listening, you know, and you can see yourself in action. And that's where the rubber hits the road and, you know, you can identify your minor glitches, so to speak, that one needs to improve. But anyway, I haven't really given a lot of thought, but I did come up with an idea on what I'd like to talk about. Now, this is not concrete. I could change it if I want to. I don't like to practice too much. I'm going to take a drink. And I don't like to prepare too much because I don't like trying to remember what I was going to talk about. That's when the mind goes blank when in front of people. See, I wanted to talk about this, that, this and that, this and that. Oh, dang, I forgot. Afterwards, you might say, well, I forgot to talk about this. So now, sometimes, I go back and forth. I'll prepare. I'll write it down, a whole speech, and I'll kind of read it. And there's nothing wrong with that, although Toastmasters does discourage us from using notes. But in my opinion, one has to change the rules, so to speak, to best suit yourself. You know, they want me to give a speech, and we need speeches. We need people to give speeches. So I'm going to do it my way, you know, because I don't like my mind to go blank. I'd rather have my notes in front of me. But I'm also good at being impromptu and just talking off the cuff like I do here with my radio show. You know, I don't have any notes. I don't prepare. I just talk from one subject to another. It's different, though, when you're in person, you know, when people are looking at you. I know I have people listening out there, even if it's just the people in VBS Radio. But I've been told that VBS Radio can tell how many pulls they have from people who are tuning in. And it's all around the world. Anyone who wants to listen to my show or other shows that talk about spirituality, usually, or whatever subject, politics, even religion, everything's okay. And, my wife is coming by me here. Cool. So I usually give speeches on the same subjects I talk about in my radio show, near-death experiences, extraterrestrial phenomena, the universe, life out there. By the way, let me just say this time that my book that I put in the Amazon Kindle bookstore many years ago, Lenny, that's the dog barking downstairs now. It's called The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. It was being rewritten, and it's going to be published on the Amazon website. And it is going to be maybe about 200 pages of pure spirituality. I mean, if you read my book, The Gray Brain, the Golden Soul, I'll talk about it later. I'll advertise it more so that you're aware when it's available to purchase if you want to. And I haven't received any royalties. I did it the wrong way. I was in a hurry to publish it. I put it on the website for free. It was available to read for free. But now I've got an editor who is going through it chapter by chapter and editing it, and taking out typographical errors and improving the grammar. And I'm proofreading what she's sending me. And that's going to be ready probably in a few weeks. And it's got a really interesting cover. I won't tell you what it is right now, but it will be available. And those subjects that are in the book, the chapters, are what I talk about, the spirit, the nature of our spirit, what happens when we die, who was Jesus, who was the creator of the universe, our mother and father God, where is heaven over there on the sun, the spirit world, the world of light over there in the distance, angels, different types of angels, who Jesus really was, the devil and demons, electromagnetism and anti-gravity, colors, the human aura, and other chapters. Really interesting stuff, I think, that I've learned from other people. But I don't always give a speech on those particular subjects. I'm going to take a drink. So my little speech today, which I'm going to practice for the first time, is, let me think about the title. Why wear gloves? How about that? And that's especially relevant at this time now here in San Antonio when it's cold outside. But I have noticed, and so let me just start. I would say it's always good to open up the speech and grab the attention of the audience and say something like, who here, it's always good asking a question, who here wears gloves? See how many people raise their hand. I noticed that people have an inhibition about wearing gloves. And I really don't know why. I think now, thinking about it, that people don't like to stand out. They're afraid what other people will think of them, whether it's gloves or some other type of clothing, whether they wear a hat or not, the shoes they wear. But when it's cold out, the main reason we wear gloves is to keep our hands warm, right? And also, I've noticed with professional sport players, specifically football players, have you noticed a lot of them wear gloves? Before, they didn't wear gloves so much. And the bottom line is that for them, besides protecting their hands from physical contact, you know, bruising up their hands, their knuckles, fingers, that is, and this is really important, the synchronicity of the hand, because the body moves a lot better optimally when the hands are in synchronization with each other. Mm-hmm. Me, I've been a typist now for many years. I worked for the U.S. Army as a clerk typist for almost 40 years. And I know I have some kind of carpal tunnel syndrome in my wrists and arthritis in my fingers. In fact, I have disability from the VA for arthritis in my right hand. And I know I have it in my left hand too. You do that typing repeatedly day after day during the work week, month after month, year after year, 40 years, you're going to have some kind of arthritis in your fingers, unless you're a really strong person and perhaps you do the right things, eat the right food, get the right exercise, right sleep. But the dog downstairs barking, hey, Jackie, I think you might want to go outside. Lenny downstairs, one of our dogs is barking. He's got that, sounds like he has that bark. I need to use the bathroom. Anyway, so keep our hands warm. That's why we wear gloves. For synchronicity of movement and coordination. And I have begun using gloves now, and specifically compression gloves, because it just makes me feel better. I can breathe better when I have that synchronicity. And I'm a person that likes to experiment and try things, and I notice how it affects me overall, and if it improves my movement, if it improves my well-being, if it improves my breathing, then it's beneficial. So I think, and wearing gloves is not a new thing. A lot of the celebrities in Hollywood have been wearing gloves over the years, even going way back until back in the silent movie times. Women especially have worn gloves. Now there's a lot of rock stars. Alice Cooper wears gloves. And I've seen other singers wear gloves. It provides also the feeling of security, of not knowing or not seeing that your hands are shaking, that your fingers are shaking. And that probably is the biggest fear I've noticed in public speaking. When you go up in front of a group of people, if your hands are shaking and your fingers are unsteady, then one, we are very self-conscious about it. And we don't want to feel that way, you know, because when you're up there bearing your soul in front of people, hold on, let me close the door here because Lenny's barking. Now, we can't always wear gloves when we're in front of people. I go to church and I sing in front of the congregation. Or I might be on a cruise ship and go to karaoke, and I don't wear gloves then. But when I practice singing outside, I wear gloves, and I notice it helps me with my gesturing. And one of the main strengths of being a good public speaker is how well you gesture when you talk. You know, using your hands to express yourself. And if you have carpal tunnel syndrome and or arthritis in your hands, then by wearing gloves, you can explore new boundaries in the area and realm of gesturing and feel more confident in yourself. Oh, the dog's down barking down there. And I wear gloves when I go out to run and walk. And one funny thing I've noticed is that even when it's cold outside, people don't like to wear gloves. I don't understand it. Well, I do, actually. Like I said, we all have inhibitions. I have inhibitions. And people don't always do the right thing. I don't always do the right thing. I try to. But I don't understand why some men will be walking outside with their hands in their pockets, or their hands kind of bundled up, tucked inside their sleeves, when all they have to do is find a good pair of gloves. It actually is beneficial. And during the speech, I'm putting some facts out here. This is not a polished speech, but I'm building on it by speaking these words now at this time, taking a drink. And so when I go, and I've been doing this for a few years now, plus when I go out to run, even walk, and I usually walk fast, you know, and I've walked on sidewalks and concrete and asphalt, and I've fallen down a few times, and it's no fun falling down on concrete and asphalt. And sometimes it's not because one is a klutz, but you know, you can miss a step, maybe trip on a small elevation in the sidewalk, you know, where it's not even. I've done that before. Or you might be in a hurry, or you might be distracted and miss a curb and wind up on the asphalt. And the gloves provide a barrier between your hands, your bare hands, and the asphalt or the concrete or wherever. So it makes sense to me to wear gloves when you're running, especially me sprinting a lot, because that's what I do. I walk and I sprint, sometimes 100-meter sprints, sometimes 50-meter sprints, 20-meter sprints. But I'll incorporate the sprinting in my walking routine. So I might, like today, it was cold outside, I didn't do too much, but I walked about maybe half a mile and did a couple of 20, 30-meter sprints. And I've been doing that for years now. And especially when you're sprinting, the possibility of falling down is greater. So like I said, it's always good to have that layer of support that will protect you from falling on the ground, even if it's a rubber track or asphalt or dirt or whatever. And gloves, I'm going to be trying, practicing giving speeches to, like right now, I've got gloves on. That might be surprising to you, but I actually, when I talk for 55 minutes straight, I've noticed that my hands get tired. But when I've got gloves on, I'm aware of my hand movement, especially wearing compression gloves. And I've been wearing gloves when I sleep too. And when I lie there in bed and I've got the gloves on, compression gloves, I can feel my heartbeat in my hands. I can feel the thump in my fingers. And it's good to keep the circulation going through your body. It's the same with your feet too. That's why some people wear socks, right? Same kind of principle. You wear gloves on your hand, it can actually enhance and improve your sleep, because your hands can get cold when you're sleeping, you know? The sheets are cold, or unless you have an electric blanket. Anyway, when we get older, we develop arthritis, and gloves help. So there are several reasons why to wear gloves. We just need the courage to do that. First of all, we have to be understanding of the rationale why to wear gloves. And I've said that before. And to summarize, first and foremost, keep the hands warm. I can't tell you how many times people have told me at church, "Oh, your hands are so cold." Well, I thought I would do something about that, you know. I'll start wearing gloves more often. Same thing happens to you, I'm going to take a drink. I recommend you do that more yourself. Yes, you're going to have people look at you, and you're going to be thinking when that car is driving down the road next to you and they're looking at you wearing gloves, even if it's in the summertime, you know. That's another thing, too. I use my gloves to wipe my nose. My nose is always running when I'm working out. And I use my gloves to wipe the snot, so to speak, coming from my nostrils. And that's very helpful. Plus, some people's hands sweat in the summertime, and the gloves absorb that sweat. So I have been wearing gloves at any time of the year, and it works for me. Because why should I care what anyone thinks? I know some people won't even wear gloves when it's cold out. That doesn't make any sense to me. And if it can help you when you're sleeping, if it can help you when you're singing, like I do, I feel like a rock star out there in my back patio. I've told you before, if you listen to previous shows, I have a couple hundred songs that I know at least that I've remembered that I've mostly memorized. I know all the lyrics and I practice them constantly, trying to do each one, you know, day after day. I usually try to get about 5, 7, 10 songs practice each day, going all through my repertoire. And it's a lot easier to sing with gloves on. It just gives one a feeling of confidence because you know where your hands are and you can gesture effectively. Usually people are right hand dominant, which means they don't use the left hand that much. Okay, hold on. I got to let the dog in. Be right back.
Come on, bud.
I'm going to jump up. Cody. Okay, Cody's in. She went downstairs, go outside, do her ablutions. Now she's back up. Anyway, now she's looking at the door like, why isn't this door open? I want to go outside there and drink some water. Well, maybe not. She's sitting down now. So I have to revise that speech. Wasn't really a speech. I was just putting some information out, but I will get it down to 5 to 7 minutes, which is what the length of the speech has to be, and hit on the main points to give the reasons why people should wear gloves. So I wear gloves when I practice singing. I can wear gloves when I want to practice giving a speech. I'll wear gloves during my radio show. I'll wear gloves when I'm driving my car. That's the vibration from the road comes on the wheel, and I find myself gripping the steering wheel very hard sometimes, but with gloves on, I don't grip the steering wheel so hard, so I feel more relaxed. I have better control of the steering wheel, I feel. I wear gloves and I don't wear gloves all the time when I'm driving, but sometimes I do. I wear gloves when I'm sleeping at night. For the most part, I've done on and off over the last few months, but I've begun wearing these compression gloves. And I believe they might help if you have sleep apnea. It's helped me, and I have sleep apnea. And it could be that sleep apnea is caused by a lack of circulation with the legs. You might have heard that before, especially during the day. If you're active, blood pools in the lower legs, and the heart has to be harder to circulate blood throughout the body. You have the extremities, the feet and the hands. So if they're warm, then the circulation is better. That's the rationale. And I found that to be mostly true. And now I've just been experimenting wearing compression gloves when I'm sleeping. And so far, so good. And I wear gloves when I'm working out. I've done that for a while. The rationale again, keep the hands warm, of course, but I wear them all year round. I use them to wipe my nose. I use them to have that synchronicity of movement that professional football players do. I've seen the difference between them. They look like they're so much more coordinated when they have gloves on. Because I remember when they didn't always used to wear gloves, and I've seen the difference with my own eyes. But also when you go outside and you're working out, you're running on concrete, pavement, or dirt, or even the rubber track, having gloves on is a barrier, provides a barrier for you if you were to fall. And it happens, people fall sometimes, especially when we get older. And that's it. That's what I'm going to say about gloves. It can be used for all aspects of your life. And if anything, if you're also one of those people that other people are saying to you, oh, your hands are so cold. Oh, you know what they say? Old hands, warm heart, whatever. I don't know if that's true or not, but if you want to keep your hands warm more, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Wear gloves. I'm going to take a drink. But isn't that so true? We're afraid what other people think. We're afraid what other people are going to think about this and that. And our lives are inhibited. And think how far we've come since, like, over the last 50, 60 years, back in the 60s. You know, they couldn't even do some stuff on television. Now they're talking about, if you're constipated, you know, take this. If a woman, that they try to sell tampons, and they're talking about stuff that's really personal that they didn't used to talk about. It was kind of forbidden. You know, even I remember when the Doors were on Ed Sullivan. The first time Ed Sullivan asked Jim Morrison not to say, when they did the song Light My Fire, "Girl, we couldn't get much higher." He wanted them to change those lyrics because back then that was interpreted as taking drugs. Of course, Jim Morrison didn't say that. He didn't change it. He said that, and then he weren't invited back on the Ed Sullivan Show anymore. Whereas if he had complied with what they were requesting, "Girl, we couldn't feel much better," or something like that, instead, Jim stuck to his guns, did what he thought was the right thing, which I agree with. But unfortunately, they weren't invited back to the Ed Sullivan Show, and they could have become even more popular and got a lot more money for appearing on the show if they had not said, "Girl, we could get much higher." We couldn't get much higher, but that just shows the inhibitions that people had back then. Now you have a lot of states in the United States that have marijuana, where marijuana is legal, you know, for recreational use. And every year it seems it's becoming more popular, if you will. I can't say I agree with that, but I do agree with free will and allowing people what they want to do what they want to do behind their own closed doors, as long as they don't harm anyone, as long as they don't get into a vehicle and drive like they do sometimes when they drink too much. And we can't impose our wills on other people. It's all about freedom, my friends. And if you want to smoke marijuana or take gummies, that's up to you. You know, I don't see much difference between that or getting drunk on with tequila or whiskey, you know, or smoking tobacco. You can smoke that leaf, but you can't smoke that one. Free will. It's all about, you know, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want you to tell me what to do. And parents, I understand they're raising their children and they want to have them grow up to be fine, outstanding citizens and not have any bad habits, you know, or addictions. But ultimately, you know, children will rebel if they feel like something's not true, it's false, you know, that they're being hypocritical. They might be an alcoholic themselves and they don't take drugs. I believe, actually, that drugs are a curse for this world. But if people want to do that, it's up to them. You know, there are other ways to get high. You can get high on life. I would recommend, if you wanted to get high, just for everyone to go out and buy themselves a good pair of running shoes and try to run a mile. I guarantee you, your lungs would thank you for it afterwards. You'd feel you get high afterwards. But we, since we do have that free will, we should be able to do anything we want to, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. And especially, what we do behind our own closed doors is no one else's business. And that's all I've got to say about drugs. I think that if they were legal, that there would be less problems from the police. We wouldn't need maybe as many police to corral those people who are taking illegal drugs. Now they call them illegal when they should be legal if you believe in free will. And they wouldn't have all these people in prison who are being sustained there with taxpayer money. And I just think, in my opinion, that people probably wouldn't continue to take drugs and harm themselves if they were legal, because part of the mystique about taking drugs in the first place is that they're illegal and it's like, oh, catch me if you can, you know, kind of attitude. I'm going to do what I want. And people rebel in being an outlaw, so to speak. And that's part of the excitement, I think, in taking marijuana, for example. And you've got so many people smoking tobacco in this world. Personally, I don't really see much difference between smoking that leaf or that leaf over there. And I think when you have some societies that in some states in the United States where they don't allow legalization of marijuana, they're being kind of dictatorial and hypocritical and not allowing people to be free. Once then you lift those barriers, I believe, then people will become free and they'll know, you know, eventually that this is right, this is wrong. My body feels this way after I'm doing this. And I don't like feeling that way. So it's all a process of evolution, my friends. It's a slow, slow process. And we're learning the difference between right and wrong. And that takes a lot of time. And that can be applicable to many areas of our life. And there are so many different areas, aspects of our life. But getting high, oh, careful, is, oh, hold on. My wife just went by. I had to move. Is, we're just works in progress, you know, all of us. How am I doing on time? I've got a few minutes left. I'm going to take a drink. My wife's been working out on kind of like a treadmill here, a walking pad. They're recommending that we don't go out tomorrow on the roads because they could be icy, which means I'm going to have to skip a day, I think, of working out. Unless I might work out briefly on the streets in front of here. I don't know. I found that working out on pavement, even though I've got these really good shoes that I just bought recently called Nike Alpha Flies, which have been advertised around $300. Now the price is going down, but they are so comfortable. My God. These are the shoes that Eliud Kipchoge, the ultimate marathoner in the world, the world champion marathoner, Eliud Kipchoge, he wears these or has worn them before in the past, Nike Alpha Flies. And treat yourself to a pair. Now I just bought a pair of black ones so I can use them for like church because these ones are reddish. I could use those black ones with my church clothes. And you can stand all day. They are just like walking on clouds and running on clouds. There's so much support. I know that, I mean, I was at the friend of mine, probably a lot of people are, that you don't want to spend too much money on shoes, but why not? Your whole body depends on the walking you do or running, the impact, and having a good shoe makes so much difference in our lives, you know. They're very beneficial. And if you get a cheap old pair of shoes, then your body is not going to be, it's not going to function as optimally as if you bought a really good expensive pair of shoes, you know. So treat yourself. Buy a good pair of shoes. Nike is a good brand. Do the research. Read the reviews also, you know, about different types of shoes. But there are some really expensive ones. And if you're going to really care about yourself and look after yourself, and treat yourself to a good pair of running shoes, my friends. I think you'll enjoy them and you'll be glad that you did buy them. But I haven't talked much about spirituality today, have I? That happens every once in a while. And now I'm going to get a couple minutes left. And so I'll just talk again about my book. It will be coming out in the near future, The Gray Brain, The Golden Soul, in Amazon. And it's chock-a-block full of spirituality. And whether you believe it or not, whether you consider it science fiction, just know, I'm telling you right now, that all, or if not most, of the information in there I've learned from other people. And now I'm sharing that with you so that you can benefit from the spirituality. If you get my book, The Gray Brain, The Golden Soul, I guarantee you, and you read it all the way through, That will be your ticket into heaven, among other things, of course, other ways. But if you read that book, and whether you believe it or not, I believe that that will be your ticket to get you into heaven.
1 minute.
Or help you to get to heaven. 1 minute. All right. So here, the creator of the universe, I talk about that in my book, Creator of the Universe, is out there. It's a he and a she. It's a being, like an electrical being. It looks like the Aurora Borealis, but all the different colors of the rainbow. A huge, huge energy field. Incredibly large, changing size. Creator, you got to know who you pray to. Creator, we love you. Thank you for everything. Please bless us, everybody. Look after us. Protect us. That could be your will. Help us in any way we need it. Thank you for your love. You're so great and awesome and wonderful. We will praise you forever because you're so worthy. Thanks for everything. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.